Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. On today's show, we're revisiting some of our favorite interviews from 2022 so far. One of those conversations was with Academy Award-winning filmmaker Adam McKay. His film, Don't Look Up, is both very funny and not funny at all. Like he did in his other films, like The Big Short about the 2008 financial crisis and Vice about Dick Cheney, McKay turns a dark comedic voice on some pretty prescient political and social concerns. This time, Don't Look Up tackles the current climate crisis. Here's a brief synopsis. Leo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence play two scientists who discover humanity's impending doom in the form of a massive comet headed for Earth, big enough to destroy all life on the planet when it gets here. The film is a story about an apocalypse that could have been avoided, and it has a cast of actors that did not come to play. You got a Streep, a Blanchett, a Chalamet. Thanks to its themes and the star-studded cast, Don't Look Up was nominated for Best Picture, Best Original Score, Best Original Screenplay, and Best Film Editing at this year's Academy Awards. Let's listen to when the scientists first present their findings to the U.S. President Janey Orlean, who is a mashup of Sarah Palin and Donald Trump. President Orlean is played by Meryl Streep, and her chief of staff, her obnoxious son, played by Jonah Hill.
What Dr. Mindy is trying to say is that there's a comet headed directly towards Earth.
And then what happens, like a tidal wave?
It will be far more catastrophic. There will be mile-high tsunamis.
So how certain is this?
There's 100% certainty of impact.
Please, don't say 100%.
Can we just call it a potentially significant event?
But it isn't potentially going to happen.
99.78% to be exact.
Oh, great. Okay, so it's not 100%.
Call it 70% and let's move on.
But it's not even close to 70%.
Let's just use like 60% as a working number.
Okay, we're going to get our own scientists on this, you know, no offense.
Dr. Mindy is a tenured professor of astronomy at Michigan State.
I'm sorry, did you say Michigan State?
Exactly, they have an excellent astronomy department.
You say so.
You want to see my SAT scores?
I'm sorry, who is she?
Are you her son?
I'm chief of staff boy with the dragon tattoo, so I'm doing fine.
How many tampons can you fit in that bag?
As many as I want.
At this very moment, I say we sit tight and assess.
Sit tight and assess.
Sit tight and assess?
You want us to sit tight.
And then assess.
That was from Don't Look Up. Here's my conversation with director and screenwriter Adam McKay from January. I'm so glad to talk to you about this film. It's so interesting on so many different layers, but I'm just going to go for the real obvious one first. What was the story you wanted to tell about climate change through this narrative?
Yeah, well, it came out of discussions and frustrations I had over the last 3 to 5 years, really intensifying as we saw the climate crisis get more and more tangible mm-hmm. and become more of a right now issue with why aren't we doing anything? You know, our leaders sit on their hands, total inaction. And to some degree, the press covers it like a sometimes story. And what I just was confused. Where is the urgency? This is clearly happening. And my friend, who's a journalist, David Sirota, offhandedly made a comment about how it's like an asteroid's going to hit the planet and no one cares. And I just thought, oh, that's the movie, because it'd be great if it could be a little bit funny as well. And I realized that one thing that we all experience now, regardless of which side of the political spectrum you're on, I've noticed everyone can kind of agree that we're in insane times right now. Mm. And I thought if we could make the movie a journey through those insane times with one solid truth at the center of it, the comet's going to hit the planet, then maybe we could bring in a nice big audience and really get them to feel that urgency in their bones.
Was it a hard sell, this film, with the subject matter?
You know, there were a couple of studios that wanted to buy it. So I guess that qualifies as not a hard sell. But at the same time, they acknowledged, and Netflix obviously bought it, they acknowledge that what we do in the ending, I don't want to spoil it for anyone. It's not a conventional Hollywood ending. And that was another big part of the idea. When you look at the complacency around, you know, what is factually speaking the biggest threat to human life in history that's actively happening right now, and why we don't talk about it or deal with it or take action. I had, you know, an idea that we've seen so many movies with happy endings that just kind of miraculously work out, whether it's Marvel movies, James Bond movies, whatever they are, the movies that most people watch, that there could be something powerful to disrupting that ending. And it was one of the more incredible things I've ever seen. The first time we test screened the movie, the audience loved it. There was this release of like, you didn't BS us. It's not the standard formula. And I've never had an experience like that test screening a movie where I was so surprised. I mean, I was hoping, but I was so surprised by the audience's embracing of what a lot of people would consider a very difficult story choice.
I think you just spoiled it on your own, Adam.
Oh, well, you don't know how it happens. You know,
true.
It's not standard. That's all I'm saying. And, you know, people like their kind of standard stories. Well, it turns out they actually were getting a little tired of some of the standard stories. So you'll have to see, if you haven't seen the movie, how it's different.
It's called Don't Look Up. I'm speaking with its writer and director, Adam McKay. So I understand you talked to a lot of scientists, consulted with scientists in terms of climate change, but also in terms of this fictional comet barreling towards Earth situation. What was something that you learned that you were able to use in the film?
So, yeah, it was funny because there's two levels to the movie. There's obviously the fact that it's a climate change allegory. It's a climate crisis allegory. And then the second thing was we were dealing with the allegory, which is a comet's going to hit the planet. So I worked with Dr. Amy Meinzer, who's brilliant. She runs a huge telescope out of University of Arizona. She's an NEO, near Earth object expert. Brilliant, very cool, loves movies, which helped. And so we had these conversations that were very funny, where I was trying to get the science to be accurate, because obviously you don't want to make a movie that's saying, hey, we got to listen to the scientists and take action and have the science be incorrect. So the first thing she told me was my original draft had an asteroid, not a comet, that was 30 kilometers wide. And she just told me, no, if it was that wide, it's game over. You could never deflect it. So I was like, okay, I'll have to change that. And she said it would be more frightening if it was a comet, because that would have a larger orbit and that would explain how we hadn't seen it before. I was like, okay, I have to change that. And on and on we went, and she included all the accurate math when they track when they figure out the orbit of the comet. That's all actual physics and the type of map, Mars in 85, that they would use. We switched where the telescope was. We on and on and on, making everything accurate. But the only two things I had to hold on to in the end, just for the sake of storytelling, were I put Jennifer Lawrence next to the telescope, which is never where you would be if you were using a telescope. You're in another room. So finally, Dr. Menz was like, all right, I understand you got to do it. It's a movie. And then the other thing was the time frame. Probably in real life, if we were going to deflect a comet, the time frame would be more like 3 years. And I just said, I can't do a story like doing Jaws over the course of 9 years where people are getting attacked by sharks. I go, I got to crunch it. So we sort of pushed and pulled and came up with the time frame, which is 6 months and a few weeks.
In the film, we see the scientists, they go rogue after the president is just like, whatever, I can't deal with this. It's not politically convenient for me for this comet to hit the planet right now or to talk about it. And they do the media rounds with this story. And they go on a show, which is basically MSNBC's Morning Joe. And it's hosted by how do you say your last name in this?
Ivante,
which is Mika, let's all face it. And that's Kate Blanchett, amazing. And Tyler Perry as her co-host, Jack Bremer. So let's listen to a clip of them in action. This is while Dr. Mindy's actually family watches from home. This is from Don't Look Up.
Well, the fireworks have certainly gone off today.
Yes, they have.
What a zinger.
Yes, they have. Yes, they have. From a wedding proposal to a little science experiment, I'm going to need a temper up and a martini
later
on.
Our last guests today have made a pretty big discovery in space. Astronomer Dr. Randall Mindy and PhD candidate Miss Kate Dibiaski are here. Welcome to the show.
Can I ask you one thing before we go any further? I just have to know this. Is there life out there? Can you tell us yes or no? Final answer.
We don't have the data. But sure, in the vastness of space, why not? Yes, aliens are real.
See, I knew I would like this guy. Didn't it say you owe me 50 bucks?
I'm not saying I knew I would like this guy.
Sure you are. That's what you're saying. That's what he's saying.
Dr. Mindy, we'll never get out of here. Now, Jack was having some fun here, you know.
Dad looks great.
What did,
does he look good?
They did something with his beard.
You know, with the aliens.
A lot of fun.
There are two things about that clip which I think are really great. One in the writing is yes or no final answer. That's what it comes down to. There's no nuance in anything.
Yeah, okay. It's, you know, since the movie's come out, there's been a lot of clips circulating that I didn't know about from actual talk shows.
Oh, no.
Where climate scientists get run over by the good cheer of the hosts or the, you know, everything's going to be fine attitude of the hosts. There's a famous one of George Monbiot, the activist and climate journalist from England, where he finally breaks down in tears. It's one of the most heartbreaking things you'll ever see. There's another climate activist, a woman, I can't remember her name, with Extinction Rebellion. And the host just keeps, you know, good cheer. Everything's going to be fine. Why are you guys protesting and blocking traffic? And she's trying to tell him, we're all going to die. I mean, this climate crisis is, you know, it's going to kill hundreds of millions, eventually billions of people and collapse civilization. And he's just incapable of hearing it. And it was amazing hearing how that scene resonated with so many climate activists and scientists, and not even just climate activists, too. I've heard a lot of people say it resonates with the trouble that American democracy is in as we sort of stare down the barrel of 3 years, democracy could be over, and how, once again, the formats and the way we talk, it's almost not capable of holding it. And you can apply it as well to the towering income inequality that's just crushing our country. When things get this big, they're very hard to talk about in these daily formats. And you have the pressure of the advertising, where you've got to have good cheer because you got to sell products with the advertising. And oftentimes that advertising are, you know, gas-powered cars or oil companies. And then it gets really dicey. And I don't think any individual is consciously changing the news. Let me make that clear. But I do think culture gets created by those types of conflicts of interest and clashing needs and economic realities. So, yeah, we were trying to capture a lot of that in that scene. So it's both funny and terrifying.
Obviously, Adam, there's been a lot of discussion about this cast, this amazing cast. We've talked about Meryl Streep and Tyler Perry and Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence. And, you know, DiCaprio is a huge climate change activist. I have to imagine there was something beyond them just being bold-faced names and they can get a movie greenlit to have this many heavy hitters and celebrities, we'll say, in this film, which also sends up celebrity a little bit.
Yeah, I think first off, they love the idea. And, you know, we were all excited about the idea of getting to laugh after the last 5-10 years that we've all lived through. That was a very simple, basic need that I think we all had. But I think a lot of the actors, and I can't speak for each of them, but I know from some discussions I had, I think there's a feeling that, you know, whatever we're doing right now to communicate the climate crisis isn't working really on some levels. And whether that's narratives in movies, whether that's the way news is covering it, whether that's the conversations we have, TV, whatever it is, we just all felt like, let's try something different than the standard way that you would do it. And I got to give the actors a lot of credit. I think they knew this was not an easy movie, not a safe movie. They knew it wasn't going to just, you know, we weren't going to be lifted on people's shoulders and covered in ticker tape. They knew that it was going to be challenging and they were all up for it. So, yeah, there was a great spirit in making the movie where, you know, they all enjoyed working with each other, laughing every day, but at the same time knew we were just trying to do something different.
Last question. I know you've been engaging with folks on Twitter about your film, Don't Look Up. Why did you decide to do that and engage?
You know, it's funny. I if you look at it, I only said like two things, and one of them.
But they blew up.
A certain group of people pounced on it, and it was very funny, and decided that I was saying, if you don't like the movie, you don't care about climate change, which is the most preposterous thing ever. Obviously, no sane human being would ever say anything like that. I was just talking about how people who are anxious about the state of the world tend to really respond to this movie, and someone decided to flip that statement. Oh, thus, if you're not anxious about the world, you know, I was like, no, that's not what I meant. So, yeah, I mean, we've been amplifying and retweeting a lot of scientists and climate activists, just because I've been very excited by how much they've been moved by the movie. And it's great to get their voices out there. That's ultimately why we made this movie. And then I only said like two or three comments in that one, man. Oh, my God. But that's social media. That's what it does. It creates pile-ons, misunderstandings. That's how they make their money. So it's kind of perfect. It's perfectly fitting for the movie. I would say this comment and then get ripped apart by a social media mob. So it's quite funny.
I was going to say, if one were cynical, it would be the best PR move ever.
I am not that clever, unfortunately.
That was my conversation with filmmaker Adam McKay about his latest film, Don't Look Up, which you can stream now on Netflix. After the break, we'll hear my conversation with Lindsey Vonn, the most decorated American female Olympic skier. She joined us to talk about her new memoir, Rise. We'll hear her reflections about sexism in sports, her drive to ski competitively through severe injuries, and more stories from the slopes. I'm Allison Stewart, and Lindsey Vonn is coming up on All of It.